Jesus. Amen. Amen. We're going to let the worship team go. Praise God. Good morning. So the main event is Hannah. Amen. But I want to say a few things before we bring her up and pray. You know, the Lord's really been dealing with me about when we commit our children to the Lord, it just cannot be a ritual that we go through. It has to be from heaven and from the Spirit and what we're doing in our lives. So a lot of what I'll say when Hannah comes up, I love the name, that it'll be just as much Craig and Kezia as it is Hannah. Because this is kind of life that we're after, life in the Spirit. And really the biggest opportunities that we have is when we're very, very young and impressionable by the Holy Spirit and Spirit-led parents. And so this is the grace that's on this house, that God's just not going to let us get away with religion, that he's going to grow us spiritually. And sometimes, you know, that's a joy to be a part of the kingdom. But there's that side of it, as Kristen was sharing about her lasagna. We don't know how to wait. We have trouble waiting. And we get disturbed. And then we start murmuring a little bit. And a little bit more. And why did God let this happen to me? Where he's out for something totally different. So I want to share this in light this morning of Hannah's dedication to the Lord. I want to share this in light of Hannah's dedication to the Lord, because really, when you read the scriptures and you look over them carefully, for instance, the 40 years in the wilderness, how come it took 40 years? You know, it's just, you know, are we that stubborn? You know, we're no different than they are. We kind of think maybe, you know, I'm a New Testament. No, you have the same nature as those people had. And that scares me. You know, it's not like half of them got over and half didn't. After 40 years, it's just two people. So I say, what does that say about me? I can't dismiss that. You know, I can't dismiss that. I mean, I must be a pretty gnarly creature in myself. If it took that many, this is a million people. This isn't like a handful of people at Golden Corral. This is at the buffet bar, right? You can't get them away. This is a million people in the desert. See, we've got to look at that. We've got to look at that. You know, God help me, else I'm going to be just like that. See, and this is why it's so important this morning that when we bring Hannah up, you know, she has to be a Joshua or a Caleb. She has to be. She has to be one that says, I'm going to bring back a good report no matter what it looks like to my human eyes. Okay. She's got to be like that, because there aren't many. That's a lot of people go to church, but not many that are Joshua and Caleb. See, and that keeps, it gets deeper inside of me. And it's like the Lord is saying to us, everybody in this room, everybody in PWM, all those visitors and such, I'm looking for a Joshua and a Caleb. I mean, I love you, but I have a special need that is hard for me to find. I love you, but I'm still trying to find a Joshua and a Caleb. See? And so we have to come to grips with that. You know, you go to church all your life. I think about Pastor Jerry Tales on Herself. You go to church all your life and you're doing this, that, and this and that. But is there a Joshua and a Caleb, or is there a Joshua Jesus in you? you know, that's not looking at the outward stuff. That when trials and tests come, you won't start, you know, getting embittered. Listen, somebody said you can't. That can't happen. Listen, our generation fell in the wilderness. Every single person, everybody, think every single person. That scares me. I'm sorry. That scares me. Where am I, right? You know, I still got to cut my grass. I still got to feed my grandkids. I still got to, you know, come to the center. I still got to keep Pastor Jerry in check. Brave Miss Brenda. I got stuff to do. I don't sit around all day. Stuff to do. Pastor Jerry is not a, you know. But in the middle of that, I got to grow spiritually. In the middle of that, in the middle of cleaning a toilet stool, I got to grow spiritually. Right? In the middle of going to the Safeway or 7-Eleven with, you know, ungodly people, Walmart, just a joke, I think. You got to grow spiritually. We all got stuff to contend with every day, but yet, I'm telling you, in that wilderness, you think them people didn't have their daily routine that they had to go through? And then God's going to test them. God's going to test you until he finds a Caleb and a Joshua in you. He's going to keep testing you. He's going to keep testing you. Because even though he loves us, he's got, you know, and this is what Hannah has to be. Hannah has to buck the crowd. In church or out of church, she's got to buck the crowd. This is why we're dedicating her. We're not just going through a ritual of, you know, some denominations do it this way, that way. Listen, we're going to speak over her and her parents in the spirit, but the expectation's got to be right. The expectation's got to be right. And so it is with us, right? You have millions of people falling by the wayside. And there's only two left. And a part of that is, it doesn't take much if he can find the right ones. Somebody said, I need a church of, 10,000. Well, if you don't have any Joshuas and Calebs in there, what are we accomplishing? Oh, there's plenty of ways to get 10,000. There's the two that's the problem. So God's he's very, very persistent about this right here. You might think it's unfair, and he's like, okay, when you learn how to respond, because I mean, I love you, but see, Satan's boast is, yeah, you can save him, but you can't get him into the promised land. That's his boast. That's his boast before the throne of God. That's Satan's boast before heaven. Yeah, you can save him. And even if you bless them, you give them some articles, some material stuff, and you bless them, and they're all happy. He ain't not worried. Because there's a difference between blessing and growing up spiritually. And so when we become saved, initially God will bless you and you'll have very happy. Then he'll pull some stuff back. Because now I got to grow you. And so we have the exhortation in scripture, you know, when the children of Israel in Hebrews 3, it says when they were tempted, they failed the test. He said, when tests come, don't let your heart get hardened. Don't let your hearts get hardened. So he's telling us because it's easy for that to happen, right? God, I want steak, but you said eat bread today. So I'm gonna let you get hungry, so you'll learn to pull on heaven. You know, here's the thing that got me. So this is, by the way, this is for this people right here in this room. Okay, and here's what the scripture says: when the children of Israel came out of Egypt, it was an 11-day journey. It took 40 years. It's an 11-day journey. It took 40 years. It was an 11-day journey. And again, I look at myself. There's something inside of me that I don't know about that's not good. Because I see myself with them. And I would have followed the pack, you know. As soon as we got hungry, bless God, I thought we would, well, I'm ready to go back to Egypt. 11-day journey. 40 years. Think about that. This, I say it like this, between 11 days and 40 years, that's how far I am from God. That's how far I am from his ways. And see, what that means is you can't do it in your own strength. That if there's not some grace with you, that when trials come, you know, when they come, we're gonna be us. We need some grace. When trials come, I've got to start saying, okay, even though I don't like this, and even though it stings, your ways are better than my ways, and your glory matters to my interest, over my interest. Right? Your interest, mine are nothing compared to yours. And you know what you're doing. Even though it stings, because you would have felt the same thing they did. But we've got to have some grace. You know, I wonder, I've always wondered, and the Lord told me this. How come Joshua and Caleb made it? Why did they bring back a good report when the rest of them said, you know what? Them guys are too big for us. And here's the Lord saying, you know why they brought back the good report? See, we look at the report, and I'm a Joshua and a Caleb, right? But, you know, they came through life in the wilderness passing the test. They learned to not let the sting bother them. And push back their own interests for the Lord's interest. And they said through all those years when they were coming up, they said to Jesus, okay, I don't like this, but your ways are better than mine. And they didn't get embittered. They didn't complain. They didn't lose interest. God, your interests are bigger. Even if I don't know what's going on, I'm going to trust about what you're doing in my life every day. So year after year, the faith built, right? They got more spiritual. And so when the time for the test to come to go over and be a spy in the land, now they're ready to look not at the natural, but at the spiritual. They were ready. God just didn't pluck them out, send them over there. And by chance, they said, okay, you know, they were born a different way. No, they passed the test through life. See, this is what we're after in Hannah. She's got to pass the test in life because it's no different for her than us and the children. It's no different from them. It's no different because God is always our heavenly Father God who loves us. He's been on training us. Who God loves, he what? He chastens. The ones he loves, he chastens. The one who's chasing, I'm going to chase him. I'm going to chase him, P. Mike, until I get him to die to himself. And his own interest, because that's my plan. Because now if I can chase him, and he will accept it, then I can make him a spiritual leader who follows ranks, who knows the business of heaven, who understands that yeah, I got to suffer with him, but I'm going to reign with him. And I don't like when we go through the water and then the water's dry and poison. I don't like that. But that's how I learned to depend on the supernatural and not look with my natural eyes. See, you can only do it by experience. You know, we want to just read about it and put it in a song. Well, we don't want it in our lives. But that's the only way it works is by experience. So I'm going to pull you out of the crowd. And say, then you prove me. This is the people God's looking for. you know, especially now. Look at how the world is in trouble. Look how this country is in trouble, right? Look at, so, you know, the world's in trouble. This country's in trouble. All kind of things go wrong around the world. God's saying, okay, I got to find me a spiritual people. Because he's not going to snap his finger and it's all going to go away. He's going to use people. He's going to use Hannah. He's going to use Hannah raised up to be spiritually minded and not natural minded. Through tests and trials and the right response. So whenever you respond, Jesus says, if you lose your life, you'll gain it, right? Whenever you respond in the gaining mode, you go up higher in authority and spiritual revelation and understanding. And, you know, we're being conformed to the image of Christ. And God can use us. God can use Hannah. It's a prophetic day for Hannah. It's a prophetic, you know, no more business as usual. No more the norm stuff, right? No more just coming in and, you know, paying your duty. But I want people who are going to rise in the spirit, see? More Joshuas, more Calebs, more people who learns that the human ability is nothing. But we have to learn that. And that was the grace, that was on Joshua and Caleb. Now look at those guys. See, God knew he had something in mind that was further. And I think it's the same for us. God knows he's got something for this nation, for this world. So he will pay the price for a whole generation dying in the field if he can get two. And those two can change his world. Ask those disciples in the book of Acts. Ask him. God, all he needed was a few, right? They start turning the world upside down. You know, I always look at Martin Luther. You know, in the 1500s, there's one man changed the whole world. Martin Luther, one man. Because he bucked the system. He's a spiritual man, see. He bucked the church, the Pope, and everybody else. He bucked that whole system of religion. And say, wait a minute. Y'all not doing this by faith. Y'all doing this by human strength, you know. The Pope and the Catholic, you know, and indulgences and things like that. We know about that. But really, guys, the Protestant church up to this day still have popish stuff going on. It's a Hannah day. It's a prophetic day. It's a prophetic day for you. I'm just sort of compelled to say this. So today, Pastor Mike's birthday, do you guys know that he can celebrate this day because he made it through the mess that was going through in his life? He bucked the system. He bucked the system. The system said, no, you cannot ever do that. And he's like, watch me. Because forget about my interest. Forget about my interest. Those got to die. I'm going up yonder. In the spirit, see? See, it's all about, am I going to start walking in the spirit? Am I going to learn to look at what I don't see? Right? In my circumstances, there may be giants. And all my throws thrown out the house. But I still see a kingdom. See, I still see a kingdom. So it doesn't matter about what's happening to me. It's Jesus getting his reward. See, most of us are self-interest oriented, right? If it doesn't happen the way we want, immediately we go down the ditch. And of course that's going to happen. But if you go down the ditch, just be quiet for a minute. Just wait. That's what she was singing. Just wait. Okay, God, I'm in a terrible way, so I'm going to keep my mouth shut toward you and other people. Because if I open my mouth, I'm going to bless you and curse other people too. I know human nature. Just be quiet. Just be quiet. There's nothing necessarily wrong with that. We'll grow out of that. Just cut that. Then watch God raise you back up. Watch your relationship with God get stronger. Watch Jesus get closer to you, right? Because while you're murmuring, you're pushing him away. Somebody said the checkbook is a negative zero. Keep your mouth shut. Negative zero isn't a right. You know what I mean. Just emphasize. Right? And even if your checkbook is above zero, we still got to wait on it. You still got to do it. Because you still want to do things the way you want to do it. Sometimes that's worse. Because I got this, so I'm just going to do what I want to do. And then we stop consulting God about it. And then we're more lost. You know, we're finding the kingdom that's not made by hands. Right? And so God, you know, even if you got money, God has other ways to stress you out. So I'm stressed out. Good. Learn to wait on God. Learn to depend on God. Because this is going to happen to every one of us. In one way or another, right? You're going to get stressed out one way. You're going to get stressed out another way. You're going to get stressed out another way, right? Somebody said, why can't I lose this? Because he can't get you to rise above it yet. Everything that comes your way is meant to what? Send you upward. God must not trust you in that area. What did he say? What did he say in Deuteronomy? You guys read Deuteronomy chapter 8, right? It talks about God let those things happen to him, to them, so that you can see what was in your own heart. So that you can prove me. So I allowed you to, the water to run out so that you can see what was in your heart. And you can learn how to trust on, you know, and what did he say? That man could learn that man don't live by bread alone, but by every word that comes out of the mouth of God, right? In other words, I don't live by the natural. I live by the spiritual. I live by what I don't see. I live by the image of heaven, right? I'm conformed to his image every time I, you know, move out in the spirit like that. That's our destiny. But he has to train us on that. He has to teach us that. That doesn't come any other way but allowing us to go through things so that we can rise above it and learn to walk in the spirit and grow to the measure of the spiritual stature of Christ. He needs people with spiritual stature in the earth. He needs people with spiritual stature in the earth. The measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. That we can all grow up and be the perfect man together. So he does us just like he did those guys in the wilderness. You know, you have a wilderness. Is it going to take you 11 days or 40 years? I'm just sort of a rhetorical. How long does it take us? How long does it take us? Man, I've been around. It took, you know, when we first started, Glo and I first started, you know, we came out of a certain church environment and, you know, it was full of blessings or supposed blessings. Then God gave Gloria a dream about the cross. How God wants to, you know, wants you to go through some things so he can raise us up higher, you know, and live resurrection life and start giving us this stuff. And we're like, wait a minute, we didn't hear about this. We just, all we heard about is if you say it a few times, you say it a few times and it's going to start coming your way. You know, you confess it and. But see, that was grounded in us. See? And so it takes God a long time to break that stuff off of us. 40 years. It's probably close. Because it gets in you. Prophetic for you today. Prophetic for you today. Is you're called to be a Joshua and a Caleb. And you're called to rise above the crowd. And not just be, you know, moving along with the normal. That you're called, but see, there's some sacrifice that comes with that, right? Remember what David said? If it doesn't cost me anything, I don't want it. Do we know what that means? You know, we want freebies, you know. God's going to send things that cost you something. That's just his way. You know, you guys remember, you know so there's something that the Holy Spirit's trying to get over on us, right? God calls, he calls David to be king, but his Saul first, right? His king Saul first. So now David's preparation was in a cave or in the wilderness, so to speak, out there with a band of men. Nobody knew him. Nobody knew anything about him. There was no reputation. There was no uniforms. There was no nothing. He was just a man behind the scenes that God knew about and was training him. Suffering, enduring, paying a price. Why? Because God had a bigger plan that he knew about, that the only way David could walk in it is that he had to go through that thing first, but eventually it was going to be the future of Israel to bring them back. You know, the church needs to come back. So he's raising up some people, some spiritual pillars that nobody knows about. You know, people pass this church all the time and say, where did that place come from? And like the song says, they don't have a name, they don't have a face. All they want is Christ. That has to be learned. You have to learn that. You don't read that. You go through things with that. Right? You go through things you don't like. Why me stuff? Like the saying, though, he's training you to reign, training for rain. Well, what do? We keep opening the oven. Waste our sorrow. Open the oven. Keep letting that heat out. I don't want those fiery trials. I don't want that heat. Come on, lasagna, get ready. But what did she say? I got the most compliments on that lasagna. You know, those angels are going to be complimenting you left and right because you waited. You allowed God to take you through it when no other men wanted to. They were teasing you. They said, why are you in that far? Why you keep going to that church? Why you keep reading that Bible? Why you keep, you know, why don't you fight back? Give them a piece of your mind. God understands. You know, there's a such thing, and scripture says it, Jesus died to bring many sons to glory. I'm talking about sons. I'm not talking about children. I'm not talking about just children or babies, you know. You know, when he's bringing us to glory, we won't have a toy fire engine, and a rubber doll or whatever. Are y'all following me? You know, Paul would say, you know, you used to be children, now I need you as men. We got to step up to this thing. We just got to step up to it. You know, we can't be nosy and stuff. We got to step up to it. You know, we got to raise up. Is that my baby? Hannah said, okay, come on, man. Let's get this on. It's like, I got it. I got it. Here's the Holy Spirit needling your heart about this. He's needling your heart about this. No more foolishness. We got to rise up for the Father's sake and for the Lord's glory. I really love the worship this morning. I can feel Jesus' heart saying, okay, they're starting to get me. And they love not their lives even unto the death, and even unto death, like I said in Revelation, that's starting to happen. They start not to love their lives so much. And they love mine more than they love theirs. They're developing so that I can finally use them to bring forth my kingdom. And I think the same words were relevant to the children of Israel in that desert for 40 years than they are as they are in the New Testament, Matthew 6. Seek first the kingdom of God. And that heaven, my will be done on heaven, in earth, just like it is in heaven. I think it was the same thing. I want my will done in this desert. But you keep getting in the way. So he's going to raise us up. We're going to have wonderful times, right? We're going to have wonderful times. We're going to have fellowships. We're going to have good family time. We're going to have a wonderful time. But then embedded in there are going to be those little stresses. Because he's got to do it. And you have to learn to respond in heavenly way. Because he's grooming us. He's raising us up. It's almost like I can see his eye. Like the Lord says, my eye is on you. Right? My eye is on you. My eyes are always open to you. I can't get my mind off of you. My eye is always there. And it's there to always bless us, right? Every day. My eye is on you every day. So every little trial that comes your way, even if somebody just, you know, looks at you the wrong way, the Lord knows about what happened. As soon as you leave this building, you know, God, his eye's on us. Okay, I'm going to raise up that lady to spiritual stature. It's right. Man looks at the outward appearance, but God's looking at the heart. How's her heart responding to this test? How's his heart responding? Eventually, God's going to be glad, right? Because he's raising up the right kind of people. Can we have Hannah up? Amen, everybody? I mean, that's this house. I don't know what they do other places. But that's this house. That's all we got. Just can bring Hannah and family. Ooh. And I saw somebody with a camera. Did you have a camera? Did you want to take some? Will you come up, please? It's very important. Can we all stand? Can we all stand? Oh, boy. Yeah, come on. Come on, guys. Come on. This is a special day. This is a very special day. And so this all needs to go down in the annals of PWM and Craig and Kesey's life and how we are walking. So yeah, please come. So I wanted this all to be in light of the message. And just a little side note. So this man, is this your husband? Your friend? Soon to be husband. Okay. All right, soon to be husband. This man has a call in his life, so you got to be praying for him, right? Okay, you got to be praying for him. I hope he caught that. This is very. Have we got everybody? Okay. So your daughter is very distinguished. Okay, very distinguished. Whether it's by man or not, it doesn't matter. In heaven, she's already been pulled up and marked as God's vessel for his honor and spiritual purposes. And there's already movement up there to make sure the books are written and looked over and over and over again, and that her measure is a spiritual measure, not an earthly one. And there's already garments on her, just like in the natural here, we have garments on her, and spiritually we have garments on, God has garments on her as well. So she belongs to that whole different order. That whole different order that God calculates and not men, right? And this is where people get in trouble because they don't understand how God's moving. But this is the grace of heaven that's on her, like it was on Joshua and Caleb, to get things done in a way that men can't understand. So I just want to pray over her, and then you two guys, that we are careful that we move into the heavenly things. And everybody that's standing up here has a price to pay to make sure that happens in her life as well. Right, that's not tradition either. And that is, okay, I'm going to be praying for Hannah as often as I can, as I recall, because the prayers keep lifting her up to her true calling, right? Sure, we're going to take care of her natural and make sure, but it's the spiritual that counts, right? I'm telling you this morning that God's looking for more Joshua and Calebs. Can y'all hear my heart? Even if it's just two. You know, we have too much church and not enough Joshua and Calebs. I don't know how else to say this. And I know what God's putting down inside of me, that to push this, no more normal stuff. We cannot afford to have this baby girl with the name that God put on her that's biblically seasoned. And that we know what's right, but it won't come just by just casual Christianity. It'll come by the Spirit of the living God. So we all have a price to pay in prayer for this beautiful young lady. We all have a price to pay in prayer for her. This is why we're standing. We're going to pray for her, but not just today. It's going to keep going and going and going and going. So when we start seeing the evidences, we'll say, oh, well, that's what's happening. She's moving up in the spirit. So thank you, Lord Jesus, for the grace of heaven that's on her life. Thank you for her miraculous birth. Thank you, Father, that she beat the odds already. She beat the odds already. And that was because you oversaw the whole thing. That's because your grace was sufficient. That's because there was movement in heaven pushing back the darkness. So we thank you now for posturing us to be here this morning, to be a part of her life, a vital part of her life. We thank you, Father, for the sequences that are going on in heaven, in the spirit, the things that the angels are doing even right now. The Holy Spirit's doing in her life, Father. We thank you now for the plan and purposes that you have for her life, which are eternal and that go past the minds of men. So we thank you now for speaking to her, deep inside her spirit throughout the rest of her life, throughout the rest of her life, Lord, not only today, but throughout the rest of her life. I thank you now for making that real to her. Help her put her father and mother at a wonder. What's going on with my child? What's going on with my child? We here at PWM and all those lined up speak that. We speak that over her. Life from above. Dedication to the Spirit of God. Dedication to the will of heaven. Dedication, Lord, to the Word of God and the power of God and the plan of God. We thank you now that she belongs to the new creation. Old things passed away. The old world passed away, flooded. We thank you for the new. And Hannah being a part of it. In Jesus' name, we dedicate her life to the King of Glory. In Jesus' name. Amen. I thank you for Craig. We speak revelation, wisdom, spiritual encounters, experiences in God. When Jesus walks into his room, everything changes. Everything changes. Everything changes. Nothing remains the same. Darkness is pushed back. Sickness is pushed back. Sickness is pushed back. Heaven opens. Heavens opens. Heaven opens. And we belong, Lord, to your kingdom. In Jesus' name. I speak over Kizzy. The life of heaven. A deeper baptism in love. A deeper baptism in the Spirit. A new Pentecost in her life. We thank you, Father, for the wisdom to raise up sweet Hannah. In the Spirit. In the Spirit. The wisdom to raise up Hannah in the Spirit. Lord. Revelation, dreams, and visions about the eternal realm. The resurrection. And Hannah would be raised in the resurrection. We thank you, Father, for the renewed mind about that. And the power of the cross of Jesus Christ. He says, no weapon formed against you will prosper. Just ride up into the ways of heaven with me. Leave this world. And move into the new creation. Dance before Heather and watch her dance in the Spirit as well. Dance in the new creation. Dream in the new creation. And watch Hannah follow. Watch Hannah follow. Please forgive me for that. Watch Hannah follow. Watch Hannah follow. Her spiritual parents. Hannah was birthed for this. To see mom dance, to see dad dance. Hannah was birthed for that. Jesus, thank you. Jesus, thank you. Jesus, thank you. There's an authority in that. There's an authority in that. We dedicate her. We dedicate her to the will of God. And we dedicate her to follow her mom. In the Spirit. Thank you, Father. We thank you for the disease disappears. Disease disappears. Kezia and Hannah. Ah, Yashana Bakoshana Maha. We can all sort of smell that. We can sense that. We all can sense that. Disease has no room. In this life, Mom or Hannah, we thank you for that, Father. The authority of this realm, the authority of this spiritual priesthood. In Jesus' name, we walk in those heavenly places with Christ Jesus. Heaven opens, the heavenly places open, and disease falls.
Thank you, Lord.
In Jesus' name. The curse is broken, Lord. This is a true dedication of babies. This is a true dedication of Hannah. A spiritual seed. Do you know she's a spiritual seed? belonging to the new world in Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. I just see a strong, strong, strong power on you and Craig.
Thank you, Lord.
Strong, strong power. That this birth is just not ordinary. This birth was supernatural. This birth was of a biblical order. This birth belongs to the kingdom of God. Hannah. Mm. Hannah was the right name.
Yes. Thank you,
Lord,
Jesus.
We thank you for that. Lord, we call you Lord. We thank you for that. Lord. You are Lord over Hannah's life and this family and all those who are up here. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you guys. Did you get pictures or you want to get some more? Dude's got a call. You guys, let's stay with them in prayer. Let's stay with them in prayer. And let there be a peace about all that we do. Okay? Amen. All right, let's thank God for them. Amen. Amen. God bless you guys. Tony, can you stay on up and close if you would? Amen. God's releasing her into the spirit realm. It's exciting things are going to be happening to that family and extended family. Thank you, everybody, for coming up. Amen. Very special. Very special. Very special.
Amen. Amen. That is deep. God is really moving. God is doing something. He's trying to awaken something inside of us. He's trying to wake up that spirit. And he's trying to connect us all together with that. Amen. You know, when we think about it, before I close, I heard one of the, just a testimony, really. I have two, but I'm only going to share one. I was at work the other day. And oftentimes people always, you know, they see the spirit or hear the spirit from me. And they, you know, people I know or people I don't know, new people that work, they be like, are you a preacher or something? And I'd be like, we all preach or we minister about something. Mine just happened to be about Jesus. You know, and she was like, I can see it. I can see it. She's like, even though we're not talking about, you know, church, nothing, just the way you encourage me, you know. And I just was like, you know, I'm like, well, I'm glad, you know, if it can help you. But there's a lady who works with us, and, you know, she goes through things. She goes through a lot of anxiety, a lot of fear, and she's always very critical of herself. And, you know, so I'm always encouraging her, and, you know, and we share, you know, scriptures and stuff, and she talk about God with me. But, you know, with the snow that happened, she was having some issues with her children, you know, a relationship with her husband and stuff like that. And so throughout these, I think the last year, you know, we just always encouraging her, praying with her and stuff like that. But yesterday, when it started snowing, her daughter was in an accident. And I just happened to have just left maybe 30, 40 minutes before. And a lot of the other people there, they was like, we didn't know what to do. We never seen somebody break down like that. And I was like, oh, you know, all I could think is like, I wish I was there. But I was like, all of a sudden, I just immediately went to prayer. As soon as they text me immediately, say, hey, this is what happened, da 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 da. And I was like, didn't even have to say nothing. I just started praying. And it didn't have no, I just had peace about it. It wasn't no, Lord, please move. It wasn't none of that. It was just a peaceful prayer. And so I got there the next morning, and so everybody talking about it. Everybody like, we don't know what's going on. We don't know if she had a seatbelt on. We just know that it's bad. And I, for some reason, I just was like, just stay calm, everybody. We've prayed. We know who hands this in. And I said, I have no fear. They was like, but this could happen. I was like, we're not claiming that. Until we get some other news, this is what it is. And so this is where I stood on. I don't know why I was standing so strong on it, but this is what I said. So maybe like 2 hours into work, we got a text and a call saying that even the doctors were amazed because the girl, a car came into her lane, made her swerve off. She hits a tree. Her car wraps around the tree. She gets ejected out of the car 30 feet. 30 feet. You know, of course, when we heard that news the first time, most people think instant death. You know, and I said life because of Jesus. I said, only thing I said, Jesus come into the situation. That's all we need. Jesus to come into a situation. And even the doctors told her, we don't understand how she got only a minor fracture in her head. They said that they took her to fix her skull. Didn't have no fluid build up, you know. And they said, you know, they trying to keep her from trying to go home. You've been ejected out of your car. She had a seatbelt on. The impact made her seatbelt pop off. But they said because her seatbelt popped off, that was what probably saved her life. And the impact of the car possibly cracked the window to give her, to keep her from hitting it so hard that it might have did something to her neck. You know, so I'm sitting there like, that's only God. Everybody else was in there, like, it was two of us. And, you know, of course, we just rejoicing. And the other people's like, oh, my goodness, what? That's all that stuff that happened? And we over there just thanking God. Like, we over there worshiping God because we knew what it was. Wow. And this is not only an opportunity for her family, but it was something that, it was a reason why we all was in there. And we were able to take part of that miracle. We were able to pull on heaven. And that's what even talking about this message is getting into that Caleb moment is believing God, because all of the evidence was saying something else. Because we know people that go through life and they go through these accidents, even less than that, and they lose their lives. But we had to believe. We had to pull on a rapport. We had to believe in our God. We had to pull on heaven. And so, you know, me just saying that is just amplifying what God is doing in this house, in this season, that I can share it with you because it's for a reason. All of this stuff is going on. Hannah is for a reason. I thank God for Hannah. You know, understanding even my wife, Craig and Kezia was there for me and Amanda through all of the stuff we're going through. I remember him telling me going through the things, you know, where he wouldn't have a child. You see what I'm saying? He wasn't sure if they could have children, and it was a blessing. And God is, I know that this baby is anointed to walk in what the disciples talked about. You see what I'm saying? What God wants us to do. She's going to get everything that we're talking about. That's the same thing that they said to us. The reason they went through things is so that we can get it. You see what I'm saying? So with that being said, I'm going to close that we're all going to start walking in some new life. And we just need to keep pulling on it, keep pulling on heaven, keep reaching out, keep asking God. You know, you might not be there yet, but keep pulling on heaven. So with all that said, all my hearts and minds is clear. We're going to close out. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for your sealing, Lord God. As you sealed your word inside of us, as you seal testimonies and your grace in our hearts, Lord God. Heavenly Father, we know that you're still a miracle maker. Heavenly Father, oh Lord God, we're still experiencing miracles every day. Every time we wake up, Lord God, that's a miracle, Lord God. Heavenly Father, you're breathing new life in us, oh Lord God. Heavenly Father, every day by your Holy Spirit. So we just thank you, Lord God, that you have loved us and have kept us this long and even further, Lord God. Heavenly Father, that you have not allowed us to just settle in our own livelihoods, Lord God, just settle in natural life. But you said, I have something greater for you, oh Lord God. I have a new life for you. I have a new body, a new mansion for you, Lord God. Something new, and it's called heaven, oh Lord God. Heavenly life, Lord God. A spirit-filled heavenly life, Lord God, that which you have for us, oh Lord God. So allow us to embrace you, Lord God, to embrace the kingdom of God, Lord God. Heavenly Father, allow our mind to be placed on you first, Lord God, and put everything else aside, Lord God. Let us not be distracted by worldly life, Lord God, the distractions of life, the issues of life. Heavenly Father, transform our eyes, transform our minds, the way we perceive things, Lord God. Turn it around to see it in a spiritual-filled way, Lord God. Heavenly Father, do something to our hearts, oh Lord God. Allow your grace to be upon us, oh Lord God, so that we may understand, that we may get it, oh Lord God, that we may walk in that freedom, oh Lord God, so that, Heavenly Father, that we may experience it yet while we're here on earth. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, for this is not just a life, oh Lord God, just to walk through, oh Lord God, but it is an experience that we have to all get. So Heavenly Father, allow us to experience you every day and grow closer and closer to you in Jesus' name. Amen.